All right, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Newsmax TV as well, coming to you from Washington, D.C. today. The Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. Really glad to have back in the program my friend, great columnist, great blogger, also television show host. You see her everywhere. An incredibly smart American, Michelle Malkin. Michelle, how are you?
Good. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing great. Really glad to have you on today. I really, really love the article that you wrote today. You're calling it Alu O Akbar Itis. And in light of what we saw last night in Manhattan, or yesterday afternoon in Manhattan, lower Manhattan, just right there where the Ground Zero Memorial is, there's a bike path. And it turns out, Michelle, you can't ride your bike in New York City anymore without somebody wanting to jump into a truck and running you over because of their religion. And then Alu Akbar comes out of their face, and you've got idiots on CNN and elsewhere saying that, you know, that could be a beautiful phrase, too. Talk to me about this article. Talk to me about how sick you were yesterday when you saw this happen.
I am beyond sick and tired, and I know so many of your listeners, and you must feel the same way. This repeated pathological pattern of apologists and whitewashers in the media who refuse to comprehend the explicit, and I say obscene, words of these jihad operatives as they are mowing down people, chopping their heads off, stabbing them, shooting them, hijacking planes into buildings, and killing so many innocent people in the name of Allah and Islam. And so you have the likes of Jake Tapper on CNN wanting to take out the clear and present danger and meaning of this phrase, Allahu Akbar, when it's uttered by the soldiers of Allah, and whitewash it. And when Jake Tapper and the Associated Press replace the actual utterances with their own sort of bowdlerized and, meaning-drained translation, you know, they say, right, like Jake Tapper said and the Associated Press said in a separate case that happened months ago where somebody had uttered Allahu Akbar, that what they said was quote-unquote, quote-unquote, God is great. That is not what they said. It is not the literal words that they uttered, and it certainly isn't the meaning of what they said. Every jihad operative around the world knows when this is uttered right before people are slaughtered, what they are telling people is, kill all infidels. And, you know, the translation machine of these jihad apologists want us to hear, oh, all of the violence that you're seeing in right in front of your eyes and that you're hearing the words of with your own ears doesn't actually mean what it means because it has nothing to do with Islam.
Yeah, and Michelle, I've got to jump in here. You're right on every front. I mean, Allahu Akbar actually translates to Allah is the greatest.
Yes.
Doesn't mean God is the greatest. It means their God is the greatest. It means the person or the entity that they look at as Allah is the greatest. And I'm doing this in the name of the Quran that says smite the infidel at the neck. Well, what also disturbs me is that I feel that we're complicit when our police chief or police commissioner or our mayors in great cities in this land refuse to answer a simple question. There was a report that he said something as he was doing this. Is that true? And the commissioner said, I'm not sure if that's true. I'm not sure if he said anything. What's that all about?
Political correctness, I've said many times over the years, is the handmaid of jihad. And unfortunately, although we have great rank and file folks and many good people in the higher echelons of the Department of Homeland Security and many of these major metropolitan police departments, the fact is that we have many police chiefs, of course, who support things like sanctuary cities and who have gone out of their way to downplay the root cause of these truck bombings and, these truck attacks and these machete attacks and all manner of jihad that has been committed, not just yesterday, but, you know, even over the last several years that have been, that have gone almost, they're like a blip on the radar screen. And I mentioned some of these in my column, which you can read at michellemalkin.com or conservativereview.com.
Right.
You know, just a couple of months ago in Fresno, you had a militant Muslim black separatist named Corey Ali Muhammad, who was shouting Allahu Akbar as he shot and killed three white people in downtown Fresno, California. And you had police officials very similar to the one that you just quoted who said, well, it's too early to say what the motive is and whether this was terrorism, and that's the case where the Associated Press gave their Islam-free translation of this as, quote-unquote, God is great.
Right, and we have to learn, or we have to educate ourselves as readers and consumers of news, that when these outlets, these far-left-wing mega media outlets put quotes around things, you don't necessarily believe it. It's Michelle Malkin, michellemalkin.com, great television host. She's amazing, one of the most amazing minds we've got on this in our country, and your conservatism is through and through, and I love your values. I've got to ask you this, though. I consider myself kind of smart. No, I'm not in your league, duh, you know that. But I've never heard of a diversity visa before. I've never heard of the diversity visa lottery before. Michelle, where the hell did this come from, and why are we doing it? Well, we need to be diverse enough to get more people from Uzbekistan, really?
Yeah, so I've been reporting on this for the past 15 years, and in fact, if your listeners check my Twitter timeline, which is just check my name, Michelle Malkin, I posted a clip from 2002 where I highlighted the fraud-friendly and terror-enabling program, the Diversity Visa Lottery, in an interview with Brian Lamb on Book Notes, because I had done a whole chapter on it in my book Invasion, which came out in 2002. And the Diversity Visa Lottery is one of the dumbest and most deadly of immigration ideas to ever disgrace the halls of Congress and the White House. It was a bipartisan, open borders monstrosity, an alliance between Teddy Kennedy and President George Herbert Walker Bush. And over the years, it is because of this bipartisan alliance of big business Republicans and your diversity-mongering leftist ideologues that this program has never been killed, even though after September 11th, people agreed. Now, what are we doing handing out golden tickets randomly without doing even the most cursory of background checks? And of course, now all we've got these Johnny-come-latelys, instant experts on TV yesterday who are finally, you know, beating the drum. Why haven't we gotten rid of this? Well, where were you? Yeah. Where were you in 2002, back 15 years ago, when there was another diversity visa lottery winner, Hesham Hadayet, who was about to get American citizenship as a result of this program, because it's green cards, which offer a pathway to American citizenship, nice and easy, who strolled up to the LL airline counter and shot two people at LAX. You know, people said, oh, back then, oh, well, we got to rethink this thing. Nothing has happened except it's been expanded even beyond the so-called underrepresented.
But Michelle, when it was put in place, and that's incredible information, we'll go check all that out and everybody should go get the book. But what was the sales job? So, how exactly was this sold to the American people that we needed this? Why do we need people just because they're from a different part of the world or of a different belief system? I thought that immigration was about making our country stronger and better.
Yeah, it was supposed to be. And you're supposed to offer something in return. You know, it's supposed to be a deal. I mean, that's the deal that my parents undertook. They came here, and before they even stepped foot on this country, they learned English, they had to pay all of their legal and health fees, and they had skills to offer. They also expressed an affinity for basic American ideals. And assimilation has been obliterated in the immigration transaction in America. So instead, it was because of left-wing ideologues that we had this idea that, oh, well, maybe there should be, you know, some sort of balance. And, I mean, I can't come straight out of this sort of affirmative action and government preferential system of using every government program to enact social engineering utopias. Utopia, this has been a nightmare. The amount of fraud that's involved here, oh, you know, if you just pass a clean background check and show your high school diploma, it's been a joke. And in 2008, I reported on this many, many years ago. In 2008, the General Accounting Office reported that the Diversity Visa Lottery Program, as it was run back then, and nothing has changed except it's gotten more lax and even worse since this time, was a national security risk. And nothing was done about it. We had Republicans in power. We had them in leadership positions for so many years when they were in charge of three branches of government many years ago. And, well, that is the case now. Why didn't it happen? Instead, what you had were Republicans who would only tie the elimination of the diversity visa lottery to a massive illegal alien amnesty.
Yeah, it's nuts. It really is. MichelleMalkin.com, Michelle with two L's, MALKIN.com. Go there, read the latest article, buy all of her books, watch her on CRTV, make sure that you make her part of your knowledge base. You get a great education from Michelle every time. Plus, she plays one hell of a piano. All right, so what's the deal with getting rid of it? The president wants it gone. He actually put this on the chopping block before this happened, and I'm sure he got pushed back by some rhinos and by all the Democrats. Now they all look stupid. Now they have to agree with him on this. What's the process? What needs to happen to make it go away?
I hope they do. There has been a longstanding standalone bill to eliminate the diversity visa lottery in 2012. It passed the House Judiciary Committee and then it went nowhere. I mean, it withered on the vine. I believe that Donald Trump could do this in the national interest as an executive order. But I also like the idea of putting people on record and showing the true colors of which open borders Democrats and Republicans are willing to risk more American lives in the name of so-called diversity.
I hear you. Michelle, last question. I appreciate the time. MichelleMalkin.com. Make sure you go and check out this latest article. It's amazing. The last question has to be, well, I'll start with a statement, then get to the question. We could stop terrorism tomorrow. We just have to do a couple of things. We just have to all convert to Islam, or we all have to live in, you know, 10-inch thick steel and never leave the house again. Other than that, you know, other than burning our Constitution and forgetting our freedoms and liberties, we're going to have to deal with this in a different way. What has to be done? You're the decider. You can press the button. You can do whatever it's going to be. What do you do to stop these lone wolf actors that are aligning with ISIS?
Well, I think there are a lot of practical things that need to be done. The RAISE Act, which addresses systematically an overhaul of our entire immigration and entrance policy, something that I've been advocating for more than 15 years, needs to be passed immediately. And then, yes, there does have to be extreme vetting. And the breeding grounds across the country, whether we're talking about academic campuses, whether we're talking about known mosques that have attracted jihad operatives, have to be scrutinized. And what we need is help from those Muslims out there who are offended by the hijacking of their religion, and I know that they exist and they put their lives on their line to do so. We need to support them. And also, I think knowledge is power. And for people to understand the Quran, the Quranic impulse, Islamic imperialism, and knowing history and the history over several millennia about what is driving these people to do this, it has nothing to do with poverty, Joe. It has nothing to do with the idea that, you know, we need to have more, tolerance. I mean, if you look at how these radical Islamists have run their own people into the ground and how they suffer the most, look at girls in Afghanistan who die because they just simply want to go to college or even elementary school, the subjugation of so many people. And yes, we could all convert or pay the jizya tax, but this is America. And so the very idea of simply embracing our sovereignty and not apologizing for it is a good first step, I think.
So well said, and I think that you're spot on with all of it. I really especially love the part that good Muslims need to raise their voices, get to the highest mountain, and scream from the mountaintops, not my religion, don't do this, we will stop you. I think once that gets louder, that cacophony in and of itself can really start killing this. Michelle, we could talk for 3 hours, you know that, and I love every time you're available. Thanks so much today.
Thank you. Take care, Joe.
All right, we'll talk again very soon. Michelle Malkin, of course, MichelleMalkin.com. Go there. Great columnist, great author, a great television host as well. I really appreciate her coming on, and you've got to go read that article. We'll link to it. Keep it right here. We're coming back for your phone calls, 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com, when we come back.
This is the Joe Pags Show.